Morning. Good morning. My name is Murray Hebert from the CSIS Chair for Southeast Asian Studies. It's a delight to welcome all of you to our Banyan Tree Leadership Forum discussion with Minister Sun Chantol of Cambodia. I think many of you know his bio from the invitation and probably have heard of him before, but he was named Minister of Commerce in Cambodia in September last year. Previously, he's had various posts in the government, including Vice Chair of the Council for the Development of Cambodia and also the Minister of Public Works and Transport. The minister brings a lot of private sector experience also, having worked for General Electric GE for 16 years. He's sort of a Washingtonian in some ways because he graduated from American University. He's also studied at the Wharton School and at Harvard. Minister Chantol, do you want to sit because you're going to be using it, or do you want to come up here? Okay. Thank you.
Great. Good morning. First, let me express my appreciation to CSIS for inviting me to give a talk this morning. Also, to thank all of you for being here this morning. Without you being here, I wouldn't be here. So appreciate very much you showing up. Let me take this opportunity to present to you Cambodia, the outlook Cambodia, and I will walk you through as to the reason why the investor should look at Cambodia as a place to invest. So for those of you that never been to Cambodia, Cambodia is located in the heart, what I call the center of gravity for Southeast Asia. You can see that our country located so right there, that where we are, and you know, within an hour and a half line time, you can reach over 600 million consumer. That is a glance of behavior, the population. There right now it's around 15 million. The land size, if you compare, if you put 181,035 square kilometer, you don't really know, see what is it. But if you compare, let's say, France, we're about one third of France. Okay, if you talk about the size. The GDP per capita is over 1,000. The inflation rate is still less than 5%. And so for the first time, we have the country rating. So right now it's rated as a B2. Now, here's the reason why you should consider as a place to do the investment. One is macroeconomic stability, which I will go in more detail. The government of Cambodia is a pro-business government. Again, I'm going to talk. Here's all the reason: a pro-business government, competitive investment incentives, a one-stop service, access to the world market, investment protection, and so on. So let me go into more detail. In terms of macroeconomic stability, our GDP grew at average 8% for the last 10 years. That's probably the fastest in Southeast Asia. Our exchange rate has been stable, around 4,000 real to one US dollar, which I'm going to show the chart. The inflation is at its low. Our debt to GDP ratio, it's very low. It's very low. It's, you know, the rule of thumb around 40%, but we only 32%+ the debt to GDP ratio. And if you compare this debt to GDP ratio for a country in Europe, for example, Greece, 177%. I think Japan, probably 200%. U.S. close to 200%. So we still have room. Still have room to borrow. For investment into infrastructure, for example, productive investment rather than borrow for consumption. Our reserve over 3.6 billion US dollars. It took us almost about 12 years to increase from a million, up 100 million to a billion, but took us only a few years to increase to that 3 billion US dollars. So we're stable. This GDP growth, about 2009, we didn't grow because the world economic crisis, but we're still doing okay. But now, last year, 7.6, and we expect the GDP to grow 7.5, 7.6 the next 4 or 5 years. GDP, you can see, nicely in per capita. Currency been stable. Inflation is low. Foreign reserve is good. Trade, with trade deficit, but it's not that significant. Budget deficit is also small. You can see around 6%. Now, we compare all the countries in the region. Cambodia, if we take out the 2008, 2009, we talk about the last 10 years, 9.8%. We take this, it's very, very fast growing economy. Pro-business government, this is important. We consider private sector is an engine of our economic growth. The accessibility to Kimun government is very easy. I will give you my business card with my mobile number in there. You can call me, you can SMS me, you can email me, and I mean it. But sometimes when you call from overseas, it doesn't show the number. It shows only 001, and sometimes I cannot answer the phone. Either I'm in a meeting, can't be meeting, I can't answer the phone. I don't know who to call back because it shows 001. Please text me, Chantal, please call me back. Then I definitely call you back, okay? Guarantee you. Now, we create 10 working groups that co-chair by the private sector. For example, technical working group on infrastructure. So when I was the Minister of Public Works and Transport, I co-chair that technical working group, where private sector is a co-chair, where technical working group on banking, on taxation, agriculture, tourism, export processing. So with 10 technical working group that meet on a monthly basis. So any issues that the private sector may have and want to resolve, they go resolve that technical working group. If the technical working group cannot resolve issues raised by a private sector, we will escalate this to what we call the government private sector forum. And this forum is chaired by our prime minister. We invite around 500 private sector in the room. We invite all the ambassador, IMF, World Bank, ADB, NGO in that forum. The private sector can ask a question to the prime minister, raise the issue, and he can make the decision right there and then. So the minister got to be ready to answer the question to the prime minister, and he can make the decision. The decision made in that forum, it's considered the cabinet decision because all Kimun cabinet sit in that forum, So very productive, efficient forum. Now, IFC of the World Bank helped organize the government private sector forum for 24 countries. They did a survey. Which country has the most productive, efficient government private sector forum? And I'm proud to say that Cambodia came first. It's the most productive, efficient private sector forum that can resolve the problem of the private sector. Our investment incentive, I would say that our investment law provides the most generous investment incentives corporate income tax, 20%. We have tax holiday up to 9 years. No discrimination between a foreign investor and a local investor. There's no alien business law in Cambodia. And every economic sector is open to investor. Tell me which country that allow a foreigner to own 100% banking license. Tell me which country that allow a foreigner to own 100% telecom sector. Insurance, agriculture sector. So we are a small, open economy, no restriction, no price control, no exchange control. It's important that you can send the money to Cambodia. You can take the profit out. There's no issues. Try with other country. It's easier to send the money in, take the money out can be difficult, but not in Cambodia. So there's no exchange control. We open every sector of our economy. There's no requirement for you to take local partner. Do 100% operation in a country. Labor force in a country, which I'm going to go later on, is very young, dynamic labor force. The average age in Cambodia is 23.7. And you might ask me why your country is population so young. It's so sad for me to remind you that the Khmer Rouge wiped out one generation of Cambodia from 1975 to 1979. So the very young workforce today. Well, it's not working anymore. It's not moving. Right. Anyway, so the investment incentives, okay. Can you move to the next slide? Yeah, okay. Can you move to the next slide, please? Okay. Also, another reason that we have one-stop service, the CDC, Council for the Reform of Cambodia, Youth Light Investment Board. And I also today serve as a vice chair. In addition to my position as a Minister of Commerce, I'm also the vice chair of the CDC. The chairman of the CDC is our prime minister. So we have one-stop service. We provide you with information. We look at your application. We do the evaluation. We approve your investment. We help you with work permit, visa, company registration, duty exemption. It's all there, all done at the CDC. Access to the world market. We are a member of the WTO. We are a member of ASEAN. And product made in Cambodia, you can be shipped to European country without duty. So that's very, very good for us. Very competitive advantage there because product made in Vietnam or Thailand had to pay tax when you ship to European country, not from Cambodia. And also we have GSP from the US, which gives us a low custom duty rate also. We have MFN with all these countries. We have investment protection agreement with all these countries. This bilateral investment protection agreement. Although we have not signed the bilateral investment treaty with the US, but our investment law protect the foreign investor. So we're looking to move forward with the bilateral investment treaty with the US. I had the opportunity to meet with Ambassador Michael Froman during my visit. So we talked about that we need to move forward with a bit in order to attract maybe more FDI from the US, because US companies probably want to wait and see until we get the BIT before they invest in the country. But having said that, we have US company always in there. General Electric have the office there. Microsoft, Coca-Cola, Google, Chevron, Caltech, and so on and so forth is there. But it's not enough. We like to attract more FDI from the US. Infrastructures, it's getting better. We build the ASEAN highway that connected Cambodia to Thailand, to Vietnam, Cambodia to Laos. We rehabilitate our railway that connects Phnom Penh to our deep seaport. We in the process of rehabilitating the railway to connect to State Railway of Thailand. So goods and services, goods and people can travel from Singapore to Malaysia, to Thailand, to Cambodia. That's the first phase. Second phase would be to build a spur from Cambodia to Vietnam. Then you can ship goods or people can travel from Singapore, Malaysia, to Thailand, Cambodia, Vietnam, China, Kunming, and connect to Europe. That part of what we call Singapore Kunming Railing Project. We upgrade our seaport in Sihanoukville, allow bigger ship to dock at our port. We build new container port in Phnom Penh. We upgrade our airport. So infrastructure is a lot better than before. We lay fiber optic across the country. Power plant being built. This, you can see the map of Cambodia and all the road. So we build a lot of road that connect to Vietnam. This side is Vietnam. Connect to Thailand and to Laos. You need to do the integration within the country and integration with our neighboring country. This is the international port. We also allow private sector to build a port on a BOT basis. This railway, mentioned that this the line that's already been rehabilitated from Phnom Penh to our deep sea ports in Sihanoukville. We're gonna move to rehabilitate this line to connect to Thailand. This missing link, 48 kilometers, was destroyed during the war, but now we almost complete that link. And then Thailand will complete their section also of 6 kilometers. Then all we can come all the way to Sihanoukville port. Then the future, is to go through Siem Reap, this the home of Angkor Wat, the wonder, one of seven wonder of the world, and go along the river here, and this connect to Vietnam, and this connect to Laos. So that we have special economic zone, 33 has been approved, but 11 in operation. The special economic zone is good that they have water supplies there, electricity is there, wastewater treatment plant is there. It's one location. We are custom. Where all the control has been done at that location. So it's easy for investors to put the factory there and everything is there in one stop. The special economic zone mainly located along the Cambodian-Thai border, so that people take advantage of Cambodia's EBA from Europe, GSP. They put a factory near the border, so that you know the workers, the product can be shipped out back from Cambodia easily to Thailand and to Vietnam. I mentioned to you, within 1.5 hour flying time, over 600 million consumers that you can serve. We have sound financial we don't have a problem with economic crisis. 97, we didn't have a problem. 2008, the financial crisis, again, Cambodia didn't have any problem with bank sector. We have a lot of banks, 35 banks, everyone can get a license. You know, those 35 banks, but I think that sector will go through consolidation. I don't think that Cambodia can have 35 banks. The market price small. You can see some consolidation later on. Deposit 7+ billion. The credit to private sector also about the same size. We have stock exchange, but we have only one company listed on stock exchange to start with. Last Monday, second company was listed. So we hope to list more and more company on our stock exchange. Resource oil and gas, mineral, bauxite. So we had opportunity to meet with Chevron during my trip also. They have Block A in Cambodia. They do exploration there, and definitely the reserve there. We reserve there, so we're going to proceed with the discussion, negotiation with Chevron to conclude that project in order for us to do the extraction of our oil on the coast of Cambodia. Population, you can see, again, very young, extremely young population. Looks at 65% between 15 and 64 years old. Very young, dynamic workforce. This investment trend approved by country. You can see US, very small, but we see China, Korea, EU, Malaysia, Vietnam, and other countries. So I hope, and we try to expand trade and investment, we hope that US company will invest more in Cambodia. Again, this investment by sector. I think we can, this you can download. I think CSIS can post it, and then they can, everyone this presentation can download. We didn't print the presentation, try to save a few trees from being cut to make paper. So investment opportunity, we have agricultural sector, labor-intensive industry, but we try to move away from a labor-intensive industry to a semi-skill. So we talk about food processing, light manufacturing, transportation, ICT, energy, human resource development, that area that we like to attract FDI from. Again, back to the reason to invest in a country. Now, I'm telling you all the good reason. Rosy picture about Cambodia. Then he said, it's impossible. It can't be something that, you know, start working, you know. Well, let be honest. Corruption is one issue that exists in Cambodia, but corruption exists in other countries. The question, what are we doing about it? And are we doing something about it? Yes, we're doing something about it. Two years ago, we passed the anti-corruption law in the country. We set up the anti-corruption unit to fight the corruption. The government official had to declare the asset, and when they take the possession, had to declare the asset again when they leave the possession. So, and then we put in envelope to seal it. So the anti-corruption unit, the ACU, can open envelope anytime. That okay, we suspect that official is unusually rich. He can open and say, look, you declare you have one car, now you have 10 cars. We have the money to buy 10 cars, additional 9 cars. So this is the kind of thing that we are doing. Now, another thing that we do is that we try to automate a lot of manual process to automate that. For example, at my Ministry of Commerce, today you need the CO, Certificate of Origin, in order to export the product. You come to my ministry, give all the paper, so we key in all the information for you. So there's interface between the government official and the private sector, that you leave room for them to negotiate, leave room for them to ask for facilitate payment. So now I put that online. Hopefully by September, this system is going to be online. You don't have to come to the Ministry of Commerce. You can submit your application, the information online. You can print your own CO at wherever your factory is located. We just review the information online, we release it. We just deduct the fees, the $30 or $38 fees from your bank's account, and there you go, you get your CO. Company registration. Today, I had to go to my ministry also to ask for the name. So, look, I want to use this name, ABC Company. Then my staff will tell you, come back 2 days from now. We had to check for you. So you go away. You come back 2 days later. Said, look, I want to use XYZ. The guy said, come back 2 days from now. Then, well, XYZ has been used already. Come back again. Oh, I want to use Donald Duck. Oh, okay, come back. Wow, well, Donald Duck's been used already, but if with the right price, I think I can tweak it, you know? This is the kind of thing that's happening. Again, I got to tell you reality. But I'm doing this online also. So we're going to put company registration online. So ABC, computer comebacks have been used. XYZ has been used. Donald's been used. So you do this online. So once you cut down the interface between the private sector and a government official, you can cut down corruption. In addition to that, Cambodian government raised the salary of civil servant 25% every year. I bet you the private sector would love to get even 10% every year, right? We do 25% every year. Again, to give them additional salary, a proper salary, so they don't resort to the corruption. We also allowed to take some of the fees, for example, the certificate of origin, CO. We charge $38 to the private sectors. The finance ministry and the anti-corruption unit has agreement with the Minister of Commerce that you can take probably 10%, keep 10% of that amount. And then you dole out as a reward for good work performance to your staff. So now we have all that money put in the pool and we distribute that to our people. But we tell them, smart, you can get that money, additional bonus, but when you come to work, we have to scan. You got to scan your finger there, what time you arrive, come to work, what time you leave. You don't just don't come to work, but at the end of the month, say, we have my bonus. Before, we don't have the system. So everybody, we don't see them. They show up at the end of the month to collect the bonus. But not anymore now. I get a finger, you got to scan that. So that's the thing that we're doing to fight the corruption. Another thing, logistics costs in Cambodia is expensive. All those, we do a lot of infrastructure, but still is a little more expensive in terms of logistics costs in Cambodia. The electricity also more expensive than Thailand, than Vietnam, but we're building power plant now. And the next few years when that come online, the price of our electricity will come down. Today we buy some from Vietnam, we buy some from Thailand, we buy electricity from Laos. But 5 years from now, we probably export our electricity back to Vietnam because the grid there already. Okay, so these are some of the issues that that I'd like to be upfront with you. Minimum wage issues a few months ago, you see a lot of demonstration for the worker, the factory, or the garment industry, textile, that asked to raise the minimum wage from $80 to $160 in one go. They want double overnight. And when the owner and the government did not agree to the demand, they do a demonstration, some violence doing demonstration and so on. So now with the increase from 80 to 100, and we are working with ILO, International Labor Union Organization, work with the World Bank, to sit down and do scientific calculation. What the number should be? Is it 160 or should it be 200? Or should it be 157, for example? Before we just plug the number of the air, 80 is good, 100 is good. But now we gotta do properly, scientifically. Is it 180 or 160? And when we do this, we wanna make sure that Cambodia is still competitive. You cannot price yourself out of the market. If you do that 160 or 200, then look, I'm going to go to Myanmar. They pay $57 a month, okay? So this is the kind of thing that we need to look at both, all angle, if you will. We must look the whole forest, not the tree. So that Cambodian government has been doing that right now, trying to resolve the labor issue, the minimum wage, and so on. So let me stop at this point and leave more time for you to ask questions. Is that okay? If you ask a question, yeah.
Do you
want to
stand?
I can stand here actually. Great. I can stand here. I have a more chart here, but I didn't put this talk about USA thing. Please. But it's okay. You can get it later on. Yep.
Please identify yourself. And
hello. Hi, my name is Dr. Donna Wells. I'm an expert in the Russian language internet. Can you talk about popular internet access rates in Cambodia, as well as how the Cambodian government intends to approach issues pertaining to internet freedom? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our population is 15 million. As of 2013, we have 4 million internet users. And the year before, 2.7. So you see the growth rate, almost like 50% every year, the internet access. Okay, so it's important for our young population to have access to the internet. And we're in the process of drafting, finalizing e-commerce law, okay? Because we're gonna move to the e-commerce, to the digital economy. So hopefully by September, we're gonna submit these e-commerce law, e-signature, e-payment. So that will accelerate our population to really learn how to use the internet. We had a meeting with PayPal. You have internet, you have e-commerce, you got to have the payment system. So we're going to talk. We always had a meeting with PayPal. We have a meeting with different bank and so on to get ready for the e-commerce when it's come online. So we are moving. We push in that direction. A lot of people using social media. In Cambodia, the Facebook and Twitter and all that. Our ministry also have a Facebook, so please follow our Facebook, www.facebook.com/moc.gov.kh. MOC means commerce, gov is government, KH is Cambodia. We had, we set up about 7 months ago, not 8 months yet. We have already 78,000 fans, not bad for 7 months. So to show you that, people interested in the information. So the traditional media, our young generation don't watch TV that much, but they go through social media. So it's important that Cambodian government push and also know how to play the social media game. I hope I answered your question. Yep. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, Christy Ellis with Women's Wear Daily. regarding some of the reforms you've made and some of the meetings you've held on minimum wage with apparel brands and retailers. I understand that Levi Strauss and Company recently pulled some business out of Cambodia with concerns about repression of labor rights in the area of protests and unionization. I'm wondering what steps specifically you'll take this year to address those concerns. Are you planning to hold more meetings with retailers and brands? They're very concerned. They've sent letters, I think, maybe to you and the Prime Minister regarding the violence on January 3rd, on which 5 workers were killed when armed security forces opened fire. So if you could address that, I would really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. In terms of the brand, we have the buyers, major brand, from the U.S., from over the world, that go to meet with us. We have two meetings already. So every 2 months, 3 months, the whole brands, the buyer, go to Cambodia to meet with the Cambodian government to find out the issue with the labor. Now, I'd like to mention to you that we are in a process of working with ILO to calculate the minimum wage, and also for ILO to talk to the union, to educate them also. Some of them don't really understand the labor law. You cannot just do a demonstration like that without go through the whole process. So we need to educate the union also. Only in Cambodia, I think that we're so free that we allow everybody to create union, if you will. Each factory, some factory has 10 different union. I think 4 or 5 people you can form union in Cambodia. And so now we need to really, so we're in the process drafting the union law right now, okay, to really regulate, not to stop them from organizing the labor's union, but at least for them to understand the role and responsibility, the employer, the employee, the union. So we address that issue. Now, Levi Strauss, reduce the order from Cambodia. Target also reduce, I think, the order from Cambodia because they're afraid that the labor unrest and so on. But so far since the incident in January, He's practically calm, safe, no issue. It's unregrettable, you know, that the five workers were killed during the violence demonstration. And when I said violence, it's really violent. They burned factories, and it is uncalled for, actually, from both sides. So I hope that we will not have this kind of violent demonstration in this sector. Yeah, when people understand that Cambodian government doing something, before they don't understand it, look, we asked for 160, you guys keep saying 100 or 80. You don't tell us the reason why you can't do it. But now we go through the whole calculation with them. So with that, I hope they understand and will not resort to strike, a violent strike. But you know, all those our labor, again, the cost probably more than Myanmar. But Cambodia is the first country that adopt ILO. We have battery factory Cambodia. That ILO is there, has an office that go and inspect the factory for worker condition, worker right, no child labor, no sweatshop. We the only country that respect that. So the buyer also, look, we're willing to pay more. You know, so the gap and the like, and we like to pay more for the product made in Cambodia because we know that the labor's standard is respected. So that's our competitive advantage by having the ILO and we comply comply with ILO and comply with BFC, Cambodia. I hope you answered your question, ma'am. Yeah, but we continue to have a dialogue. I sit with them also. The meeting chair by our Deputy Prime Minister, Prime Minister Kit Chon, and I also always sit in a meeting with the buyer to listen to them, take their concern, and then to work among ourselves, try to resolve that. Yes, we always because they want to tell us, you know, look, we're coming this month. So I think every 2 months, they go there to have a meeting with us, and I have a meeting every 3 months between the Garment Manufacturing Association and BFC, the Battery Factory Cambodia, the ILO, to also address any issues that BFC might have with our factory. Any issue with GMAC, the Garment Manufacturing Association, hey, with the union. So that every 3 months. Yes, sir, in the back.
Thomas Yandel, American University. Cambodia receives a very large amount of overseas development aid, ODA. And I'm sure you're familiar with the debate to what degree ODA is a backstop to true government reforms, because it allows a government not to reform and still receive a lot of money. And my question is, there's a big debate about particularly Chinese aid. If I was an investor, how would you show me that in spite of all that unconditioned aid, you're engaging in serious economic reforms? And I'm talking about show me rather than just tell me. And I'll give you an example. I study Vietnam. Vietnam has this provincial competitiveness index, where every year there's an index about improvement in every province. Does Cambodia have such a thing? Or work on establishing such a thing? How do you show me that governance improves consistently and the government works on it? Thank you.
Every form, yeah. You would put it this way. Last year, 2013, we had the election. The ruling party lost 22 seats, okay, before they have 90. I won 23 in National Assembly, and we lost 22 seats. So there's a lot of people vote. Okay, and we lost 22 seats. It was really a wake-up call for the ruling party. And so we are going all out to reform. Like I said, I'm doing reform at my ministry, other line ministry also doing reform. Education was reformed there to improve the quality of our education. Finance ministry, taxation also reformed. They put everything online, trying to generate more income. Custom reform. Cut down on the corruption there, the speed, the process of clean the good from the ports. Camp control, my unit that also inspect the food safeties and export and like that. We stop doing 100% inspection. We do risk management 2%. So this is the kind of reform that we're doing at the level of the line ministry, and the prime minister made it very clear. Each line ministry must go through the process and eliminate red tape. reform. He who reform will lead the country 2018 the election. So we see that it's important. If we don't reform 2018, our party might not win. So it's important. It's a major wake-up call for us, and it's a good thing for Cambodia that the CPP, the ruling party, lost some seat. It shows that people want change, people want reform, and we listen. We listen to the voter. And that's why I'm going all out at my ministry. I revamp completely, restructure, reorganize the whole Ministry of Commerce that never been done for the last 20 years. Never. So I done that reform. Okay, a different organization, assign the people to right people to right place. And you assign the people, you promote people that know, not who they know, but what they know. So that's what I'm doing at my ministry. Before you just, the minister had the power to appoint someone to the position. I don't do that. I announce the open position at my ministry. Then the staff can submit their application or resume, and each one of them had the interview with my 7 deputies. Each one of them score them, rank them, put in the envelope, seal it, don't put their name, give me the 7 envelope. I, the last one, to interview the candidates. A minister interview every candidate for that position, then get a score, then I put on Excel spreadsheet, open each envelope, score that, we sit down together, review that, and we select the best. This never been done in Cambodian history, never ever, that the people get promoted, get nominated, appointed through interview. This is the first time. And that is spreading from my ministry to the Ministry of Education to appoint the director of the department, go through the interview. Very transparent. Before, if you know someone or you pay for the position, you get appointed. So when you pay, there's investment. When there's investment, you want return. So return through what? Through corruption. So there's no investment today. You don't pay a dollar to get promoted. And so that's what we're doing, sir. We try. But again, reform does not take overnight. This is work in progress. Work in progress. Reform that. Reform, administrative reform, judiciary reform, a major one. We just passed a law. Major reform in that area. Okay, so it's work in progress. Like I said, he who reform will reap the benefit next election. Yes, sir.
Yeah, hi. My name is David Miller, and I'm from University of California, Davis, the College of Agriculture and Environmental Science. I was interested to hear more about your working groups, particularly the one in, the one in agriculture. We've been having a lot of difficulty with MARD, the Ministry of Agriculture and Rural Development. They're trying very hard, and yet they know nothing about business. We're working with smallholder farmers who very much have difficulty, perhaps because of past history of Cambodia, forming themselves into value chains in which they can do collective marketing, collective buying, all those kinds of elements that you turn agriculture into a commercial sector with smallholder farmers. And I was wondering where are there cross silos between ministries where the Ministry of Commerce would work with the Ministry of Agriculture to build agriculture as an industry in Cambodia?
Thank you, sir. Agriculture sector is very, very important for Cambodia. As you know, 80% of our people live on the farm. And so we need to help them. Now, we just create the Tower Rice, Cambodia's Rice Federation, again, to help the farmers to be able to, sell the rice paddy to this federation, rather than sell rice paddy to Vietnam or sell rice paddy to Thailand. So we try to do value added in the country. I work very closely now with the Minister of Agriculture on working group, okay? But again, I had to be frank and honest with you, that the God working group number nine, that number nine, was not working properly before. But now we have a new minister now. He's just been appointed at the same time with me in September. And we're going to move to strengthen that working group, that technical working group, to really help our sector. And so we're going to do, you know, Federation of Rice Exporters, Rice Federation, Rubber Federation. We're going to have silk and so on and so forth. That's how we're going to help our farmers. So please come to give them some ideas. We need badly. So during my trip, we got the opportunity to meet with ADM. Hopefully we meet with Cargill, and they can go there and help, and also give them some ideas how to do it. We have one PhD from Cambodia also. She's very good in food security, food safety, climate change, impact on our culture in Cambodia. She also helped Ministry of Agriculture and Fishery. Yeah, so I hope I answered your question, sir. But before, it didn't work well. Didn't work at all, actually. But now it's getting better. Yes, please do, because I'm also the vice chair of that technical working group, of that the agriculture technical working group. So I think in the back, you have a question, yes, sir?
Hi, my name is Storm Tip. I'm with Human Rights Watch. I appreciate your mention of the anti-corruption unit and their ability to investigate members of parliament. It seems like the issue with corruption is more transparency than it is an ability to investigate. Cambodia still has a law which makes it a crime to publicly disclose assets of members of parliament, and it seems like those who would support such a law would be ones that would have issues with hiding assets or having something to hide. And I'm wondering why would Cambodia would support such a law if they don't have anything to hide?
Well, why Cambodia support such a draconian law?
The law that would make it illegal to publicly disclose assets of members of parliament?
I'm sorry, I'm not. Why? No, the member of parliament, senate, member of Cambodian government, director, on up, must declare the asset. And the ACU, anti-corruption unit, they pull out. They see that person unusually rich. They open the envelope and they said, look, here is two cars. Now your garage is five cars. Show us the source of your income to do that. Maybe I don't answer any question right, but our law, our anti-corruption law, it probably one of the toughest one in the world, very, very tough. But now, the implementation, okay, this is a young organization, very young organization, okay, that they need capacity building also for them to detect how to audit, how to identify, how to catch the corrupt people, okay, that one. Another thing, we all signed MOU, ACU, anti-corruption unit, signed MOU with Coca-Cola, first company in Cambodia, that Coke said, we will play by the rule, by the law. We resist the temptation, or we resist the bribery. So Coca-Cola signed MOU, the first company, because Coca-Cola had to comply with FCPA in the US. But at the same time, they must comply with the anti-corruption law in Cambodia also. So they signed MOU. So we hope that more and more company will sign this MOU and they play by the rule. Sometime, again, take two to tango, the tango, right? Because if you don't bribe, if they demand, you don't pay, what are they going to do to you? Slow down a day, your shipment don't clear? We have a hotline. My ministry put a hotline. CEO, 48 hours. You don't get 48 hours, you call a hotline. And then we're going to find out why the CEO is not issuing 48 hours. As the rule in our ministry. Can we wait for bribery? So we also have a hotline trying to address this corruption issue. Again, so we are fighting it. We are fighting it, okay? It's a work in progress. We teach our people. We send our people overseas to learn. And you know, how do they do in Singapore? We went to Hong Kong to learn from the people in Hong Kong. How you control the corruption? But again, if you don't raise the salary, have you know, sufficient or proper salary, then the temptation is there. And if you leave room for them, the temptation is there also. But if you put it even online, how are you going to meet and demand the bribery from people?
Thanks for that answer.
Thank you.
It seems like instead of having members of parliament privately disclose their assets to the anti-corruption unit, it seems like transparency and having them publicly disclose their assets would seem like a more direct way to fight the corruption issue.
Well, again, the law that requires, based on the law that everyone has to declare the asset, again, they put in the sealed envelope, you know, and they locked up, and they can pull out any time to review it. And then not only that, I think once every 2 years, you also have to declare too. Not you don't have to wait until you leave the position. Every 2 years, go back, you resubmit again. Again, they compare again. The old one, the new one, in 2 years, my God, you had 5 houses. Where you come from? But if you can justify, yeah, I buy houses because, look, in the first one, I have 10 hectares of land. I just sold 5 hectares of land. So that money, I go buy cars. It's okay, you can justify that, it's fine. But if you don't, then where you get the money from? The question, please. Yes.
Hi, I'm Savit Yasok, a Cambodian student attending George Mason University. I know that Cambodia is opening their economic doors in 2015 for the ASEAN economic community. Just wanted to know, like, how ready are we for competition, especially in the labor force?
Okay. That's a good question. 2015, December 31st, 2015, ASEAN community will be created. ASEAN economic community will be created 2015 with the 600 million consumer. EAC is created to create a single market, single production base for ASEAN. Today, for the old member of ASEAN, 6 old members, the terror rate, 99.2% is all zero already. But for the new member, Cambodia, Laos, Myanmar, Vietnam, it's around 98.7%, between 0 and 5%. So by 2015, most of that is zero. The 0 to 5 is going to be reduced. So there's a free movement of goods, services, capital, and skilled labor. So people said, look, are you concerned with EAC? Cambodia, I mean, would you concern? I said, I'm not concerned. EAC, look at our location. Look at our location. Cambodia can be used as a center or a platform, as a factory, as a warehouse to serve even the 2 countries, Vietnam, 90 million consumer, Thailand, around 70, just right being the 2 countries, we will benefit from the EAC because single production base, single market. So Cambodia will move along, whether you like it or not, 2015 EAC will be in place. Cambodia is ready. Cambodia is ready to be part of EAC. Today, out of the 200 plus activities that ASEAN member state had to complete by December 2015, 80% plus of all ASEAN member state are complete that activities. So another remaining 20% will be done from now until 2015. Now, 2015 doesn't mean that the clock will stop. No, you continue to do more negotiation, implementation of the EAC. Now, for Cambodia, people say, oh, with the free movement of skilled labor, the people will come to Cambodia, take the job away from the Cambodian. I said, I'm not concerned. I don't expect a doctor in Singapore will migrate to be a doctor in Cambodia, earn $1,000 versus $10,000 or $20,000 in Singapore. I'm not afraid of that at all. What I'm concerned is that I might have a brain drain of our engineer will go to work in Singapore, get more money. Our doctor, if they qualify, go and work in Thailand, for example. But in order to keep them in a country, we must attract more FDI to create job for them, better paying job to keep them in a country. And that's why this part of trade mission that I come with U.S. Ambassador called reverse trade mission, where we bring the U.S. businessmen to the U.S. to do business matching with the businessmen in the U.S. to attract more FDI to Cambodia, to create a better job, to keep them in the country. But it's going to be very good for ASEAN. ASEAN in the process of negotiating RCEP, Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, between 10 ASEAN countries, FTA, with Japan, Korea, China, India, New Zealand, Australia. Okay, that has 3.4 billion consumers, so represent 48% of the world population. Combined GDP of 21.2 trillion, trillion US dollars. Okay, so this gonna be a good time for Asia Pacific in the next century, if you will. But having said that, TPP also important. Trans-Pacific Partnership of the U.S. So our ASEAN 10 country, 10 members state, four negotiate RCEP and also they negotiate with TPP. Singapore, Malaysia, the Philippines, Vietnam, they are members of negotiations for the TPP. Cambodia is not part or party to the TPP, but does not mean we do not want to be a part of a TPP. So we need to get ready, sign the U.S., sign the bilateral investment treaty with the U.S. That was a condition that will lead us to the TPP. So we get ready just in the time that the TPP, but the TPP is not going to happen tomorrow. I guarantee you that. And if it happened, would Congress allow President Obama to go and sign? I don't know. So probably not 2 or 3 years. So 3 years from now, I think we'll be ready. We're ready to jump on that bandwagon if they allow us. I hope we answer the question. Yep,
Mr.
Thank you.
Chen, yes. Can I ask you, one of the things that you alluded to here is this, the technically skilled labor.
Yep.
And one of the problems you hear from foreign investors is that they have trouble finding people at high skills. Could you tell us a little bit what you're doing, what Cambodia is doing to develop the engineers, the managers, et cetera, that Cambodia needs? Thanks.
Good question. Today, we have a mismatch. What we produce from our university and what the investor want. We produce PhDs, MBA, accountant, manager, but the investor give me technician, give me electrician. We don't have. We don't have. Why? Because you have to understand the mentality of Asian family. I don't want my kid to go to technical vocational school. I want my kid to get a PhD, a bachelor, a master's degree. So that's the mindset. But when they graduate, there's no job. So now we shift. We shift to more and more vocational training school in order to provide the skilled labor to the investor. We also encourage the investor to set up the training facility. Medibear, Japanese company that move, relocate from Thailand to Cambodia. They said, look, I need 5,000 workers, skilled labor. We couldn't give to them. So they set up their training center. And then they asked, said, look, I'm going to train the people. But in return, Mr. Government of Cambodia, I want exclusivity for motor, that certain type of motor. I want 5 years exclusivity. Please do not allow any other investor to come in. They take all the workers that I train. So we trade off. Okay, fine, we give them 5 years on a few specific motors that Medibear produce. So we do that to give the incentive to train more people. ANZ Bank came to Cambodia, recruit people, said, I don't want the people that work for the bank. I want a fresh, anybody that don't understand anything about banking, please come to work for us. They train them. So that's how we work. But we shift more and more to vocational training facility, a program. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I hear you, and we hear that you have a lot of problems, but I want to add one more problem to you, moving on roads. You know, we travel from Phnom Penh to Siem Reap, which is about 200 miles. And it takes about 6 hours. So my question is, you have any plan to solve this kind of problem?
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm trying to, can you give me the map?
I'm SOSCAM retiree from the State Department.
Let me address him as uncle. You know, so uncle's a good question that you asked. Today is at the travel time of Phnom Penh to Siem Reap, which is the home of Angkor Wat. It takes around 6 hours. We are expanding the road. We build a road from Phnom Penh on the way to Siem Reap, around 80 kilometers, expand to 4 lanes. And from there to Siem Reap, we enlarge to 12 meters. And asphalt concrete are going to be probably the best road from Phnom Penh to Siem Reap that will cut down your travel time from 6 probably to 3.5 hours. Okay, but we'll take probably two more years to complete that road. So today, a lot of construction. So very slow to go to Siem Reap. Now, I'm trying to get the map so I can show people the what uncles asked on that. Not this one, the road map. Yeah, with all these. Yeah. But anyways, we build a lot road. Road numbers for okay. Here it is. Okay, so that's the road. This road number 6, okay, to Phnom Penh. So from Phnom Penh up to here to Skun, that could be 4 lanes. And then we enlarge to 12 meters, okay, asphalt concrete. Here, from here, route number 5, 30 kilometers also, we build the four lanes. Then from here to there, Japanese JICA also help us enlarge to 4 lanes. And later on, that's not going to be 4 lanes. Going to be 4 lanes. We, in the process of reviewing the application on a BOT, build, operate, transfer of a company to invest in expressway, 4 lanes from Phnom Penh to our deep sea port. Now we have another company also looking to do the BOT, Phnom Penh to Ho Chi Minh City, 4 lanes also. We are building the Mekong Bridge here. Today you have to wait for the ferry. 2015, the Mekong Bridge will be ready. You can go from Cambodia in the morning. You have breakfast. You have breakfast here in Phnom Penh. Then you drive to Vietnam. You have lunch in Vietnam. Then you come back, you have dinner in Cambodia. Take you 4.5 hours from Phnom Penh to Ho Chi Minh City. So a lot of road being built. A lot of road being built in Cambodia. And I'm also right now try to build a road connecting Kampong Chenang to Kampong Thom Raya, cut across right here, and also from Battambang to Siem Reap. So from this tourism sector pole to another tourism pole here in Battambang, there's going to be a road crisscross right here. That's on our master plan, because I have the opportunity to serve as a Minister of Public Works and Transport. So we set up a lot of master plan to build a road. So uncle, please come back. If you want to go now, take you 6 years, or six hours to go to Siem Reap. But you go back in 2 years, take you 3.5 hours to go to Siem Reap. Very fast, beautiful road. Yep.
Any last questions?
Yes.
Thank you, Minister Dental. I just, since you already met...
Can you introduce yourself, please?
Sopat Sang from VOA Khmer Service. Since you mentioned serious economic reforms, I wanted to ask you what is sort of the assurance... the Cambodian government has mentioned economic reforms before. You, as the new Minister of Commerce, what are the assurances this time that the government is taking these reforms very seriously?
Well, the insurance to reassure the investor, this means you have to reassure yourself. The question, do you want to win the election 2018? If the answer, yes, we want to win the election. If you want to win the election 2018 to be relevant, you stick to your reform agenda and do it quick, do it fast. If not, you will not be there. So that's why we understand that. We know that we must reform. Without reform, we're going to have a problem in 2018. We cannot attract FDI if we don't reform. Then people don't have a job. Without a job, create social unrest. So the government can understand that. That's why we move, you know, to reform, meaningful reform, like what we did, you know, we're doing at the Ministry of Commerce, at education, at custom, taxation, all that, at finance ministry. In general, there's major reform, judiciary reform. If the court system in Cambodia is not independent, who's going to invest money in Cambodia? If the local partner or Cambodian always win the case through bribery, no one will go there. So that's why we have a major law just passed to ensure the independence of our court system so that the investor will have a confidence in our court system and they invest in the country. Without that, no one will invest. Thank you. Any other question? Well, thank you very much. I hope I answer your question. And please, please come to visit us. We are committed, Cambodian government committed, determined to reform. We cannot build Cambodia alone, but with our determination, with our commitment, with the participation of the private sector, together we can build a better future for Cambodia. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Minister Chantau, for that very engaging, enlightening presentation and discussion. You brought a lot of energy. You're very enthusiastic. That's great.